Greetings in the blessed name of the risen, coming King of all kings, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, our God, by affliction, separates the sin which he hates from the soul which he loves. Let us pray. Our Father which is in heaven, we thank you today that through the precious blood of your Son, we can come into your holy presence and seek a blessing, our God, for every listener. Bless the Christians listening today, Father, that they might be made aware of your holy presence and have a more definite desire to live for your glory. Father, may we each one be appreciative, thankful for what he did when he died for us. Father, for those listening today who are strangers to the grace of God, men, women, and young people outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for them, Father, by the Spirit of God, speak to them through the Word of God, that in repentance and believing faith, they'll trust the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. It hardly seems possible, but this is our eighth session on the correspondence course that we have been studying. And I'm sure you will agree it's high time that we move into the second lesson of the textbook from Emmaus Bible School, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. For those who ordered these books, complete the first test, test one, and then mail it to the address as given by the announcer. We'll grade it for you and return it to you promptly. Be sure now to look up every scripture reference in your Bible. Be like the Berean Christians that we read about in Paul's day. They searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. If you are a new listener and you would like a copy of this correspondence course, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, written by Dr. C.I. Schofield, the man who is of Schofield Reference Bible fame, and this course edited by Emmaus Bible School of Oak Park, Illinois, listen to the announcer at the close of the broadcast. He'll give you the details, and we'll be happy to mail you one. And now this morning, we hope to go into chapter 2, but very briefly, a review of the past few broadcasts. From the Bible, God's holy, inspired word, we have learned of three groups of individuals in the world today. The Jew, God's chosen earthly people, the Christians, or the Church of God, as they're referred to in 1 Corinthians, God's chosen heavenly people, and the Gentiles, that is, all who are not of the nation of Israel and are outside of the body of Christ, his church. The passage in 1 Corinthians we refer to, chapter 10 and verse 32, says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God." Now, the emphasis during our past few studies have been noting the contrast that exists between the church and Israel. The church being that blood-bought body of Christians, that chosen group of believers, that group of individuals who have come out of their sin and placed faith in Jesus Christ and been born again and by his Spirit added to his church. We read in the book of Acts that they are being added to the church daily, those such as are being saved. Now, this is what places a man in his church, in his body, salvation through the blood of Christ. That's one group of people. The other group is the nation of Israel, God's chosen earthly people. Very briefly, we have noticed that there is a difference in their two origins. He spoke to Abraham and gave Abraham promises, and from Abraham came the nation of Israel. The church, on the other hand, was prophesied, predicted, foretold. The Lord Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," the rock being Peter's testimony, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "I will build my church." The church was still future when he was living, and after his crucifixion, the church had its beginning as the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers on the day of Pentecost. We find that there is a contrast in the calling of Israel and the calling of the church. For an example, from Genesis we read concerning Israel, "Now the Lord God had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show thee, earthly possessions. To the church, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, for our citizenship is in heaven. Still contrast. Then we find differences given in the conduct of Israel versus the conduct of the church, of the believers, of the Christians. We read concerning Israel, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But concerning the church we read, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn the other also. And then we found a very interesting contrast between the worship on the part of Israel and the worship on the part of the church. Israel's worship was centered around a tabernacle, around an altar, around offerings made to God. But the church worships in spirit and in truth. We worship in a tabernacle not made with hands. We come into the presence of the living God through the sacrifice once made, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. But then, we have been considering, too, another very interesting, but still a contrasting study between the future of Israel and the future of the church. The church has a future in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was witnessed going back to heaven, and those who witnessed said, this same Jesus which ye have seen taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. He declared, while living in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, in 1 Thessalonians 4, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself shall return from heaven with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive will be caught up, carried away to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to take his church, that is true born-again believers in Jesus Christ, to forever be with himself. That's our heavenly inheritance. That's a portion that awaits all the redeemed. Unfortunately, this does not await all church members or all religious people, but it awaits all of those who have experienced new life through new birth. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that has the Son has life, and he or she who has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Yes, praise God, eternal life is the portion waiting all of those who have Christ. And all who have Christ, my Bible says, have life. And those who have Christ and have life can know on the authority of the Word of God, the unerring truth of the living God, the inspired Scriptures, you can know you're going to heaven. That's not presumption. It's fact. God says it, and I believe it. And that settles it. That's the portion, that's the inheritance that awaits the true church, those born-again believers, the saints in God. But what about Israel? What is their portion? What awaits them? Have they not suffered enough? Oh, friend of mine, they have suffered for 2,000 years. But let me tell you, their greatest day of suffering, as we mentioned last in our last broadcast, is just ahead. Oh, there's a time of glory coming for Israel, but there's also a time known as the Great Tribulation, when those who have rejected the Messiah will look upon him whom they have pierced, the prophet said. They're going to behold the one who has the nail-scarred hands and feet, the wounded side, the one that they cried out, his blood be upon us and our children. We have no king but the rulers of today. We worship no man. And they rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Christ. A friend of mine, there's coming a day when they're going to look upon him whom they persecuted and whom they nailed to a cross. It was Simeon who said, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That's from Acts chapter 15. I want you to notice what it says. After God has taken for himself a people of the Gentiles, then he will return. Then he will rebuild the tabernacle of David. Then he will build up the ruins. This is ample evidence that God's dealings with Israel is not fulfilled. It's not completed. All of God's dealings with Israel is not behind us. There's coming a day when God will once again pick up the remnant, the repentant remnant, those who have survived this great holocaust of tribulation that will fall out in a coming day. And then they will return to God repentant. And when they do, God will deal with them and God will bless them. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So we read in Isaiah 11, and then from Isaiah 14, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Yes, friend of mine, Israel does have a future. But the future that they must go through first is that horrible wrath, the judgment of God against sin, the judgment for rejecting the Messiah. But once they have realized this, and once a remnant, a small group of them, turn to God in believing faith, he's going to fulfill the promises given to Abraham, the promises concerning David. We read in Jeremiah 32, Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. One final passage in this connection, reading from Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see Israel any more. Yes, friend of mine, God is going to bless Israel after he disciplines them, after he judges them. What's the safest thing to do? Well, friend, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, the safest thing to do today is to realize that what God says in his book, the Bible, is true. You're a sinner. You're a guilty sinner, a needy sinner, a hopeless sinner. But as such, you can turn, as many of us have done, to the Lord Jesus Christ and plead the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. And the Bible assures you that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And then, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you'll be taken from that condition and placed into his church, his body, that group of redeemed saints which shall gather around his feet and throughout all eternity worship him as we sing together unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Will you join that group today by being born again? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has for you the gift of eternal life. Do it today and he'll bless you.